It is nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT. Broadcasting on 100.1 FM, it is your public radio station here in beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska. The Kodiak Police Department says reports of a firearm at Kodiak High School today were found not to be credible. KMXT's Brian Benoit reports officers responded to an alleged threat at the school this morning.
Kodiak Police Department Public Information Officer Francis De La Fuente said in a phone call, a young man allegedly sent a photo of a firearm to appear over the social media platform Snapchat. Students reported the suspected threat to staff around 8:45 a.m. and contacted the police immediately. Students were not put on lockdown but were placed on hold. That means they were kept in classrooms, but hallways were clear for administration and law enforcement to search the building. Police found the student in the library unarmed and had a conversation with him, saying he was very cooperative. The threat was deemed not credible, and district staff and police were in contact with his parents. De La Fuente said police and school district actions were made in an abundance of caution considering the pattern of school shootings across the country. Police have returned to the station and their regular patrols. The rest of the high school students were back to their regular schedules by noon. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Benoit.
The National Marine Fisheries Service, or NMFS, is in the process of expanding the critical habitat of North Pacific right whales off the coast of Alaska. If finalized, the rare marine species could have further protections near Kodiak Island and other waters around the Gulf of Alaska. KMXT's Davis Hovey reports.
That's the unique sound of a North Pacific right whale calling to other whales in the Gulf of Alaska, recorded by NOAA Fisheries. It's estimated that less than 50 animals exist today in a range that extends from Hawaii to the southeastern Bering Sea and beyond. The rare species of whale has been on the endangered species list since 1970, after historical whaling activities decimated the population. Conservation areas for the whales already exist in parts of the southeastern Bering Sea and a small area south of Kodiak Island, totaling over 35,000 square miles. But in 2022, two environmental groups petitioned the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration to add thousands more square miles to the animal's critical habitat area in Alaska. The National Marine Fisheries Service announced its intent to expand those boundaries last fall after completing a year-long review. Jennifer Malik is the North Pacific Right Whale Recovery Coordinator with NOAA Fisheries. She says sightings of the elusive marine mammal continue to be documented within the current critical habitat zones.
So we know that they're still using those areas, and we know that they're still important. So my best guess at this point, or my best estimate, is that we will be expanding as opposed to retracting any of the critical habitat.
The federal agency's decision process to add new areas to the existing critical habitat is based on one factor: the presence of zooplankton, which North Pacific right whales eat as their main prey source.
So if you look at the original designation of critical habitat from 2008, it basically says areas where there's enough of these small zooplankton for right whales to effectively feed. So it's worth it for them to spend time in these areas because there's enough zooplankton.
An updated critical habitat map with all of the potentially important feeding areas is not finalized yet. Malik says NOAA Fisheries still has to analyze acoustic recordings and other data to identify what other waters should be added to the right whale's critical habitat in Alaska. However, scientists believe that North Pacific right whales migrate through the Fox Islands and the Aleutians, as well as feed consistently near Kodiak Island. But with these marine mammals being so few in number, sightings have been rare. The last one recorded near Kodiak was in the fall of 2021. That means knowledge about these whales is limited. Malik says documented sightings can go a long way in contributing to what the agency knows about right whales.
Any sighting information that we have is incredibly helpful for understanding where they are and understanding, you know, at certain times of year, why they might be in certain areas. As an example, we had some cod fishermen in just north of Unimak Pass in 2022 who sighted North Pacific right whales in February. feeding, which was something that we had never seen.
If you see a North Pacific right whale, take photos or videos and report the location where you saw it, along with other details. Malik does not have a timeline for when a proposed rule on the whale's critical habitat would be published in the Federal Register. When NOAA Fisheries does release a proposed rule, then there will be a required public comment period on the updated critical habitat before it can become federal law. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Davis Hovey.
The Unalaska Public Library hosted its first ever Filipino Storytime last week. KUCB's Sophia Stewart Rossi reports the goal is to help the island's Filipino children connect with their roots.
So this will be in the Tagalog language. So say with me, Tagalog.
Tagalog.
Perfect. I love it.
Russell Leforteza is reading the first Filipino story time at the Unalaska Library. He's reading a Tagalog children's book to over a dozen kids in a circle as he reads about a girl's trip to the supermarket.
Okay, so when they were on their way to the market, okay, makinig ka nang mabuti.
Leforteza grew up in the Philippines, speaking two of the languages there, Ilocano and Tagalog. He moved to California when he was a teenager, but came to Unalaska to be with family after he became a teacher in California.
With the first ever Filipino story time, I want, you know, Filipino Americans to not forget where they came from.
According to the U.S. Census, more than half of Unalaska's population speaks languages other than English at home, and about a third of the population identifies as Filipino. Leforteza says he's passionate about preserving culture and diversity, which is why he translates all the Filipino stories and songs into English at story time.
Listen well, mother said. Hold on to me tightly, huh?
Leforteza says when he was learning English, he would sometimes feel out of place when he didn't understand what was being said at events.
I want to be more inclusive in a community that is very diverse, who is very rich in culture, history, heritage, and diversity.
He says he wants kids to feel accepted at story time, even if they don't speak Filipino languages yet.
You know, your cultural identity is what keeps you unique in a country that is very diverse, and especially Unalaska, you know.
Leforteza ended story time with a Tagalog version of heads, shoulders, knees, and toes that helped him learn Tagalog when he was a child himself. The next Filipino story time is March 1st. In Unalaska, I'm Sophia Stewart Rossi.
Though he won't be born for another 300 years, and he's a fictitious character, William Riker just might be the most famous person born in Valdez. To Star Trek The Next Generation fans, the first officer aboard the Enterprise was a highlight of the show's adventures in seeking out new life and new civilizations in space, the final frontier. As Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early reports, a group of fans want to honor the character's last frontier roots with a bronze statue.
Commander William Riker is many things, a tactical leader, a bearded charmer, even a jazz aficionado. Just don't mistake him for Canadian, as this unsuspecting waiter does.
My grandfather was Canadian, you know.
Really?
Aren't you one too?
A grandfather?
No, Canadian, sir, Canadian.
No, I grew up in Alaska.
Like Riker, Cameron Harrison also grew up in Valdez. A lifelong science fiction fan, he says the story goes that Gene Roddenberry, the creator of Star Trek, was inspired to make one of his main characters an Alaskan after visiting the state.
To know that Gene Roddenberry was so impressed and taken with Alaska that he purposefully made one of his characters from here is something I think we should pride ourselves on and celebrate.
Harrison lives in Portland, Oregon now, but he's spearheading an effort with like-minded Alaskans to build a life-sized bronze statue of Riker in Valdez. He's even created a nonprofit, Riker Maneuver, to get the project done. It's named for a pose the Starfleet officer was famous for, lifting his leg up on a rock, stool, or a chair while he spoke with people.
It's such an iconic pose. We were like, well, it has to be that. And then my idea was always, I wanted him to be doing that on a bench. One, I like functional art, so let's add a bench. Two, that gives, great photo opportunities for people either to sit next to him, to do the pose next to him.
Jesse Desmond, one of the other organizers with Racker Maneuver, helped put together the project proposal. She says they've already found a local Alaskan to build the statue, Patrick Garley of Palmer, and estimate the total cost would be around $125,000.
Once we kind of had more of a finalized proposal, we were able to approach the city of Valdez with it and actually start discussions with them.
Harrison says they've not only pitched it as a tourist attraction, but also a monument to a character the organization believes embodies Alaska values.
He's kind of a fly by the seat of your pants, rugged, into fishing and sports, and a team player, but also does his own thing, which I think is very Alaskan. We all have to work together to survive up there, but we're all definitely individuals.
Desmond says there's also the space connection.
Alaska is home to the Pacific Spaceport Complex, which is out in Kodiak. We have a Space Force base, which not everywhere has one of those yet.
And intentional or not, even some of Riker's quips suggest a man who's well-versed in Alaska's wildlife. In this season 4 episode, the crew of the Enterprise finds itself caught in a trap set by the antagonistic Romulan Empire.
Long-range sensors detect 3 Romulan warbirds entering the sector.
Some days you get the bear, and some days the bear gets you.
Organizers say they've gotten support from local community members and even officials with CBS, the company that owns Star Trek. At this point, the prospect of the statue lies with the city of Valdez and its Parks and Rec director, Ken Wilson.
Well, you know, I come from the Star Wars background, so it's a little different for me.
Wilson says his department has received the Riker Maneuver proposal. And while he hasn't watched The Next Generation, he says he knows there are dedicated Trekkies out there and sees potential in the project as a tourist attraction.
From a, economic development standpoint and possibility for drumming up additional tourism and economic impact within the community, I think it's a viable project.
The statue proposal now needs to go up the city's chain of command. If approved, it would go through a public comment process before moving into fundraising. Organizers say they intend to crowdfund the project. Harrison is already planning for what the statue's unveiling would look like. Of course, he says, Jonathan Frakes, the actor who plays Riker, would be invited.
I have a dream of Jonathan Frakes playing the Star Trek theme on his trombone at the unveiling. That's the goal.
While Frakes did not respond to a request for comment for this story, Harrison says he met the actor at Comic-Con and he was all for the project. Reporting from Alaska, The Last Frontier, I'm Wesley Irby.